You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
On today's show, Kenneth Fetter talks about Miamisburg Mound from his book, Ancient America, 50 Archaeological Sites to See for Yourself.
This is episode 259 for the 16th September, 2017.
All right, Ken, welcome back to ARC 365 and tell us all about Miamisburg Mound, which is not in Florida.
Right, yes, it's in Ohio. Well, Miami was is the name of one of the native groups in the American Midwest. And so that name actually starts there. How it ends up in Florida, I'm not exactly sure. But the Miamisburg Mound it's an Edina burial mound. The Edina and Hopewell are the two kind of sequential mound builder cultures from the region in and around Ohio, greater Ohio. And these guys built, for the most part, we're looking at burial mounds, large conical mounds made of earth in which either one or a sequence of probably rulers, chiefs, or priests were interred. Common people weren't put in the big burial mounds. These were, for the most part, these were rulers or leaders. The Miamisburg Mound is in my book and a really important one because it is, depending on how you measure these things, it's either the largest or second largest burial mound in North America. And there's a big competition between the Miamisburg Mound and I think it's the Grave Creek Mound in West Virginia. Which one is a little, well, we're not exactly sure depending on how you measure it. This one here is the Miamisburg Mound is pretty close to 70 feet high, which is very high. It's really monumental. It's incredibly impressive. It's 877 feet around at its circular base, which means its diameter is a little less than 280 feet. It is gigantic. 1.5 million cubic feet of earth needed for its construction. Again, that's a basket load at a time, lots of people over a long period of time, filling up baskets with earth, carrying them up the hill and laying them down. What's also cool is the location chosen for the Miamisburg Mound is in fact a high ridge, which made it more difficult to build, but it also meant it was very impressively located. Probably in just about anywhere in the region lived in by these people and their homeland, you could look towards that ridge and see this mound kind of dominating the landscape. And I think that's intentional.
Interested in archaeology? Want to hear from experts in the field about the latest discoveries and interpretations? Check out the Archaeology Show every other Saturday and let hosts Chris Webster and April Camp Whitaker take you deeper into the story. Check out the Archaeology Show at www.archpodnet.com/archaeology and subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the Google Music Store. That's www.archpodnet.com/archaeology. Now back to the show.
Burial mounds were not intended by the builders to be climbed up onto. Platform mounds, the later platform mounds, of course, those were meant for temples to be placed on top, for the homes of rulers to be placed on their top, and of course, people had to be able to access it. Burial mounds, that was not the intention. What the state of Ohio has done is they've put in a series of wooden steps that allows you to walk to the top of the mound. And then they fence off the rest so people won't be climbing up the raw face of the mound and causing all kinds of erosional problems. I climbed up to the top. It's all these, wooden steps preserved for the weather in Ohio. And when you get up to the top and they flattened out the area on top, it really is quite impressive. And you can kind of imagine, and this is purely speculative, the notion that this area is high up because the spirits of very important people are going to reside there and watch over everyone. The Miamisburg Mound, unlike, say, an Egyptian pyramid, it is kind of analogous to that, right? The deceased great leader is placed in this gigantic monumental structure. But unlike Egyptian pyramids, which are built for a pharaoh and maybe his spouses and his entourage, the Miamisburg Mound is not a one and done. There are a series of burials in that mound, so it probably grew by accretion. So in other words, somebody's importance dies, you put them in the mound, you make a mound over them, and then when the next person dies, you build up the mound some more, and the next person dies, you build up the mound some more. So it grew over time, which is really pretty cool. It's located in a state park. There's no entry fee. So you go in, and it's wonderful. There's a state park, and there are swings for kids, there are picnic tables, and right in the middle of all that is this extremely impressive conical burial mound that dates to certainly more than 2,000 years ago. It's as much as 2,800 years old, the earliest burials, and it was used right up until AD about 100, based on radiocarbon dates of the mound. Easy to get to, easy access, it's free, and it's very damn impressive. It's kind of the culmination or the peak of Adena earthworks, just because if it's vast, it's extremely tall, and it's enormous volume. And understand, though, that as big as the Miamisburg Mound is, it's one of literally thousands of conical mounds that at one time were spread across the American Midwest that represent the burials of lots and lots of important people over hundreds upon hundreds of years, both by the earlier Adena folks, the later Hopewell, and these guys are the Adena evolved into the Hopewell, and they're separated only by the Hopewell were more agriculturally inclined than the Adena were, and in terms of pottery styles and artifact styles, there are changes through time. But the mound builders of the American Midwest, an important, very significant period of time in American history when Native folks built these gigantic monuments to serve as the burial places of their deceased rulers.
Yeah, it does look impressive. So visit the links in the show notes and check out the special discount on the book from the publisher Roman and Littlefield. And when you get the book, take a look at Site 17 and especially take a look at those pictures. They're pretty impressive about Miamisburg Mound. Thank you. That's it for this episode of ARC 365. Please share this episode on your social media sites so others can have fun and learn about archaeology too. Please consider a donation to ARC 365 by sponsoring an episode for just $35. You can find the sponsor page at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/sponsor-ARC365. Thanks and have a great 2017 with the Archaeology Podcast Network. The song Storm Diggin' was written, performed, and recorded by Steve Webster. This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.